Thank you. I need this, yeah. Thanks. Thank you very much. Go ahead and stay standing for just a minute. I'm going to pray. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you for this awesome time together. I just thank you for how faithful you are in gathering us together. Thank you for just touching us. I thank you that we proclaim those words of blessing over each other, Father. Those things come to pass. They are real. We believe in our prayers, and we just thank you for speaking through us, Father, for working through us and teaching us what it means to have your authority. I thank you for opening our ears and our hearts and our minds tonight. I ask that you would dispel any confusion. Just take it away, Father. Don't allow it in here. I just pray for clarity. I pray for receptive hearts. And I just thank you for that we walk away tonight transformed but empowered too in your kingdom. I just thank you, Yeshua, and how great you are. Amen. I want to just say thank you to all of you guys that helped prepare dinner tonight and clean up and all the things that you did. I know that it was a lot of work, so thank you all for volunteering and doing that too. Yeah, thank you. Pardon me? Yes, yes. These lights are extremely bright. We aren't in here at nighttime typically, but yeah, you remember how. Also, that last video, Joshua Aaron, we know him. He visited us from, thank you, that's better. Yeah, he visited us from Israel. He is a completed Jew, but he is someone who, he's a believer in Messiah Yeshua and also walks in Torah. So, and what a beautiful testimony he has and an awesome ministry that he has too. So that video just always touches my heart, seeing him walk through Jerusalem. Yes, yes. And I think it was Joy that said he's facing the wrong way when he was doing the blessing, but I thought, no, he's facing us. He's blessing us. So that was pretty cool. Anyway, also, there's been a request for Pastor Tikva to share some dance instruction. And so we talked about Wednesday immediately following the teaching, if it doesn't go super late. Also up to you. But if that works, we'll do it then. And she was thinking a half an hour, which is probably going to be closer to an hour, would be my guess. So in that time. Okay. Oh, it's back on the skill of everybody else. Okay, got it. All right, cool. So I as we established and thought about and prayed about what Sukkot would be, the theme that God gave me was establishing God's kingdom. It's the theme he's been speaking to my heart for the last 2 years anyway, especially with the start of COVID. And that's when we really became involved in our local government. That's when we really started stepping up and paying attention to those things. And then hearing that others were speaking and prophesying those same things throughout Mesa County really has just impacted me deeply. But I know what God was speaking to me about that in establishing his kingdom is not about what we think in the future. It's about right now. It's about what he's doing in each of us, because we are that moving tabernacle that we are that tabernacle made without hands, that he has put his word on our hearts and he's caused us to be Yeshua to the nations. He's caused us to be that salvation and to walk in his authority. And that represents his kingdom, which is the same thing as government. It's just the different terms for the same thing. He's establishing his government through us in his kingdom. And that is what I want us to understand and be empowered by tonight. And that's not just in our own home lives. It's in our thought life, too. Having that, establishing that authority is where it begins, is in our thought life and then in our homes. And then as we become really good at that, when we're faithful with the little, he gives us a little bit more, right? He expands our tent pegs and gives us more authority. And where we put our feet, we can say, that's yours, God. That's what you've given me. So this message, it's not a clever name tonight. I actually thought of a whole Born in the USA and, yeah, Bruce Springsteen. But anyway, Kingdom of God, establishing Yahweh's government. It's a holier name, so... For to us a child is born, Wow, I can't even read that from there. To us the Son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the God we know. This is the conquering King that is returning. That is the Messiah that we are looking to return and to fight. But the thing that I think that we have been duped a little is in thinking that he's going to come in and do it all and he's going to save us all. He's looking for a bride that he can marry, that he can bring together, a bride that's prepared, a bride that's ready and says, we're up to caliber. And that's not to intimidate or make you feel like, oh God, we're so imperfect. You know, Pastor Tim spoke this morning that the righteousness that God, and I'm going to butcher it, but I know what it is in my thoughts, but it's that God sees us as righteous when we walk in obedience to what he's given us. That's all we got to do. We have to just be obedient, and that's what he sees. That's the spotless bride. The bride that loves him is saved by him and walks in obedience. And so this government is not just on his shoulders. He's establishing it through his people. Amen. I know this may sound weird to some of you, and I know a lot of you will get it too. But when President Trump was president, we were like, yes, finally, good things are going to happen. Good things, you know, finally we'll take care of all the swamp, get rid of all the junk, and it's going to be, and it was, there was a lot of positive that came out of that. There was amazing things. He was the most pro-life president. He followed through on the things he said he would. He brought the embassy to Jerusalem, as it should have been 50 years prior or 40 some years before. That being said, we kind of sat back on our heels and said, okay, he's got it. Yeah. Woohoo, glad we did our work. We elected him. Yeah. Now we can just kind of coast. But God said, no, you got to rise up. That's why he gave us Biden. That's why he gave us. It's why he gave us trial and tribulation. That's why the people are groaning. Because it rouses us to action. It rouses us to say, okay, we can't sit on our duffs anymore. It's the same thing Messiah wants in his bride. We're not here just praying for the end of the world so that we can get rescued and sucked out of here. Okay, we are to serve. That's the Hebrew concept, is while you're waiting, it's actually to serve. If you've gone to a restaurant and you've been waited upon, okay, they actually come and do something. If they're good, if they want a dip, yes. So USA's governing structure, we're going to do a little bit of history right now. So our civics class here, three branches. Hopefully most of us know this or remember. The judicial branch interprets the laws in reference to the Constitution and applies its interpretations to legal controversies involving the laws. The legislative branch enacts the nation's laws, and the executive implements them. They enforce it, the laws enacted by the legislative branch. Okay? I don't know if that's legible to you out there, but structure of the United States government, it is the same structure on the national level and the state and the local level. It's the same breakdown of divisions of power. But how does this compare with Yahweh's government? It's kind of an interesting concept because it's a kingdom, right? He's a king. He's a sovereign king. We don't have a republic when it comes to God's kingdom, but we do have the authority to rule and reign with him as a king. And we're going to learn about that right now. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So Exodus 18:1. So here is going back in history a little bit. Here's some of the government that was set up to the children of Israel. This was one of their first introductions to how they set up their structure. You should seek out capable men out of all the people, men who fear God. I'm going to say men and women, too, because we know that God uses women, too, right? Okay, men of truth who hate bribery. Appoint them to be rulers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them judge the people all the time. Then let every major case be brought to you, but every minor case they can judge for themselves. Make it easier for yourself as they bear the burden with you. If you do this thing as God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will go to their places in shalom. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice, right? So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. That's a big testament right there. How many of us have done everything our fathers-in-law have said? Moses chose capable men out of all Israel, and he made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. What did Pastor Tikva say the other night? We need leadership. God is not a God of chaos and disorder. He's the God that puts things in order, and that comes through strong leadership, too. They judged the people all the time. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went on his way to his own land. Just a side note, his father-in-law, he was not someone who was walking with Israel all this time and had all this great experience in the word, or obviously didn't have the word yet, but he wasn't a seasoned warrior and in God's ways. Yet God, yeah, he was a Midianite pagan priest, but God used him in this to teach, and Moses had the humble heart to learn. God will teach us sometimes from sources we would not expect if we're looking with our physical eyes. He uses our spiritual eyes oftentimes to teach us things and test our hearts if we're humble enough to learn. He also said to them, "See that you make them according to their pattern being shown to you on the mountain." That's what, when Moses was shown how to build the tabernacle, there's a few verses that throughout Exodus that say, make sure you do it just like I showed you. Make sure you do it like I showed you. He is teaching them. He's showing them the pattern. This isn't the pattern for all time, but it was a pattern to build upon as they grew in understanding and relationship with Moses and with God. But do you know that those three branches of government come from Scripture? Yahweh is our judge, he is our lawgiver, and he is our king. He will save us. Kind of interesting, huh? Much of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights obviously were written from biblical perspective, from godly spiritual men. But we often, I don't know, that actually a lot of that inheritance has been lost too. Not just our inheritance in the Bible, but our inheritance in our history of America too. Just knowing the godly heritage that was given to us here. So the judicial branch consists of, we're just going to go through this a little bit, the U.S. Supreme Court and the Federal Judicial Center. They are essentially guardians of the Constitution. They interpret the law and they uphold it. So can you see Can you see what this role plays in our lives too? The Holy Spirit is the one that interprets the law for us and enables us to uphold it in our lives too. But we're told we're not supposed to judge, right? That's not my job. I'm not supposed to judge. Actually, we are to judge, but there's a way to do it. And it's, we are to not judge by appearance, but we are to judge righteously. We're to judge with wisdom and discernment. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Plead the cause of the poor and the needy. The word in Hebrew to judge is shafat, and it actually means to either vindicate or punish. So there's no middle ground there. And it also means to govern. If we are not discerning in our lives, we are not governing. We have to discern in our lives so that we can delineate. If this goes here, it's going to hurt my family. And if this goes here, it's going to give life to my family. You're to do no injustice in judgment, though. You're not to be partial toward the poor, nor show favoritism toward the great. But you are to judge your neighbor with fairness. 1 Corinthians says, the one who is spiritual, so not carnal, someone who uses their spiritual man, discerns all things, and he himself is discerned by no one. That verse is a little bit of a mystery, too. But it's that ability in us that you know in your knower, you know something because you've trained your senses in the ways of God. Ezekiel 44 says, they will teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and explain to them the difference between the unclean and the clean. How many in here feel like you could accurately explain the difference between the unclean and the clean? Hopefully a lot of us, most of us. Or the difference between the holy and the common. We should know. This is written to the priests. This is written. This is what the priest's job is. If you consider yourself a priest, because 1 Peter 2:9 talks about us being a kingdom of priests. So if you are a priest, then you know the difference. The power granted, the legislative branch now, this is the power granted to Congress to make laws. This branch also declares war. It regulates interstate and foreign commerce and controls taxing and spending policies. The power granted to Congress to make laws. So who has that power to make law, to make laws now in the kingdom mindset? It's Yahweh who's made those laws, but he's also given it to us too. That's right. Again, that comes with discernment. It's also, we can declare war too. I don't know about the other stuff, but... And we should. By the way, the war dance that we did tonight, that, sorry, we didn't have lyrics up, but the words are Kol HaMesameach. It's the voice of the conquering bridegroom that comes in and fights for his bride. That's you. That's us. That's our Messiah that comes and makes war, because everything out in our, everything that we're exposed to wants to take away our inheritance. He wants to take away our authority and diminish us as much as possible. But our bridegroom says, you are a beautiful bride and you are worthy. And he comes in and he fights for us. So when we do the war dance, it's symbolic, but it's warfare. And we are interceding for those, that our family members, our friends that don't know God. We're interceding for our children, for our grandparents, for whoever it is. That is a dance of spiritual warfare. So this legislative branch, though, we do have the ability to walk it out. It's not just the hearers of Torah who are righteous before God. Rather, it is the doers of Torah who will be justified. The Torah... And we hear it translated a lot as law, but it's really not the accurate translation, because the Hebrew word for it comes from the word for light, and it actually means instruction, just like a faithful, loving father gives us instruction. And I don't know how many times I've used the example, but when your child was little, and I know I did this with Joy, she was probably 1.5 years old or 1 year old and went out, started heading out to the street, and I spanked her bottom pretty hard. And then I had someone say, you horrible lawgiver, you are a mean mom. You don't love your child. No, nobody said that. But that's what we say. She's alive, that's right. You're welcome. But that's what we say about the God of the Old Testament, that he's a mean God, that he didn't have the grace and the love that Jesus of the New Testament did. That's not true. He was incredibly merciful. How many times did the Israelites disobey him? And they had the physical example of seeing that Red Sea part right in front of them. And they still disobeyed. He was incredibly, everlastingly merciful. But that is our loving Father that gives us instruction, that maybe swats us when we need it, because he says, hey, I'm putting you right back on this pathway that's going to save your life. So when we see this as when we hear, whenever we see the word law in our Bibles, think of it as instruction. There is a legal aspect to some of these things too, though. I'm just not going to get into that deeply tonight. So, but it is not the hearers, it is the doers. It is our actions. Words are cheap, words are easy, right? But actions are what we have to judge by. And that's how we're judged too. When Gentiles who do not have the Torah, do by nature the things of the Torah. So they don't maybe know the instruction, but they're walking it out anyway. They are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the Torah. What does that mean? Someone want to explain it? It's written on their hearts, exactly. It's even though they may not have sat through. Jews are raised in this. They know the word in and out. The Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy. religious Jews are. They're trained in these things and they know. But what they're lacking and what God is bringing them into is an understanding of who Yeshua is. And he wants to marry that right here. And as Christians over here, we've known what it is. We know the saving grace of Yeshua. We know salvation, but we have lacked the instruction, the basic foundational instruction that was written to God's children. It was our instruction booklet. And we've gone astray because we didn't know. We said, that's old. We're in the New Testament. But he said, that is written to my children. And that's where he wants to marry us, right here, grafted in Romans 11. So those that walk in the Spirit of God, though, are a Torah to themselves because God will direct them where they need to be. They show that the work of the Torah is written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts switching between accusing or defending them. On the day when God judges the secrets of men according to my good news through Messiah Yeshua. Okay, yeah, this is, sorry, new scripture. Wait, I can't see it. Oh, it's the end, sorry. But if you call yourself Jewish and rely upon the Torah and boast in God. Okay, that was just randomly weird. Ignore, moving on. Hebrews 10:16 says, this is the covenant that I will cut with them. After those days, says Adonai, I will put my Torah upon their hearts and write upon and upon their minds I will write it. Who in here is celebrating Feast of Tabernacles again for the first time? Is God putting this on your heart? Why? Why are you here? Why did he rouse in your spirit? Because he has written it on your hearts. He wrote it on our hearts before the foundations of the earth. It's just taken this time to kind of pull off some of those layers so that we could see more clearly, to see what he's doing there. Then we have the executive branch. The executive branch of government is headed by the President of the United States. It has the power to put plans, actions, or laws into effect. This branch also enforces the laws written by Congress. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a lot packed into this verse, but the fact that he's saying you have the option to step up and serve as a priest, it's saying you're a leader. You're in a place of authority, because that's who the leaders were in the Old Testament. That's the pattern. They were the priests. And then those that were appointed over the thousands, hundreds, ten, or 50s and tens. But if we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, we are priests unto the king. And it is upon us to walk out these things, to execute the interpretation of the Torah as the Holy Spirit directs. Revelations 5:10 says, you have made them for our God a kingdom and Kohanim, which is priests, and they shall reign upon the earth. Is that pointing to someday in the future? It is, but it's also pointing to now. It's saying that, and it was to them that came before us too, that we are a kingdom of priests and that we will rule and reign with Yahweh. We will execute. We are the executive branch also. Behold, I have given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. How many of us actually believe these things that we're reading here? That's good. How about when you're feeling really low? Maybe you wake up depressed or you feel like something really bad happened. Do you still feel like this? You may not always feel that way, but we're not supposed to go by what we feel. We have to intention our footsteps. That's what mature people do. How many times do you maybe don't feel like going to work? But maturity says, hey, I gotta feed my family. I'm gonna get there. Same thing. We go by, and what did you say again? That's when faith steps in. That's right. And that's the gap. That's where God makes up or we fall short. So therefore submit to God, but resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise. We have authority over the enemy because God already conquered him. We don't have to walk in fear of man or what man can do to us because we have that authority over him. Our God is a conquering king who already conquered. And we have seen victory after victory over the past couple years, especially. At the hardest times, the worst times, the most darkest or the darkest times that we have seen in our modern history, or at least in my lifetime, I'm sure there's others that have seen worse, but walking through some of these things, God shines the brightest too. Amen. That's when he works the hardest. That's when he kicks our butt the hardest too, right? Our butts. And our collective. Yes, thank you, buttocks. Okay. Deuteronomy 28:7 says, Adonai will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be struck down before you. They will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Amen. He also says that he will make you the head and not the tail, and you'll be above and not below if you listen to the commandments of God, your God, that I'm commanding you today, and be careful to do them. I just want to be clear. We don't do these things for salvation. Our salvation is only through Yeshua. That's why they had Passover, and then he took them out. That was salvation. The blood of the Lamb on their doorpost, right? That's salvation. That's that Abrahamic covenant of faith. And then he took them out to the wilderness, and he taught them. And he said, I'm going to take you and just take you as my treasured possession out here alone, and I'm going to train you. What you said today, Pastor Tim, he turned and he looked up at the throne and he said, this is me and God right here. Like a child, just totally focused on what they're doing right there. God, I am unworthy. I'm a scum. The thoughts I've had, if you knew them, you would just be, and you do know them, but if you knew them, but you chose me anyway and you're using me. That's our God. That's the relationship that I have with my Father. That's the relationship that he wants for all of his children, that we know him, the creator of the universe, the conquering king, but my friend and my loving Father too. The one that says, you're a daughter of the king. You get to come to the table, and I'm going to feed you brisket and mashed potatoes with extra gravy because that's what I like. or sometimes it's, hey, I'm going to take you to the beach in Mexico and give you tacos. That's equally amazing to me. That's a daughter of the king. That he is right there. He's like, you're not on the ground looking for scraps. We are not beggars. We are the head and not the tail. And we need to start remembering that in our lives and in our prayers. And I love how you have taught Pastor Curtis multiple times. We pray with thanksgiving. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy. I can't remember the exact address right now. But it talks about when you've eaten and had your fill. It's not just food. When you have had him fill you up, when he's done something, amazing provision, you say, thank you, God. So we thank him. We thank him for taking care of my kids. We thank him for the things that I'm worried about. Thank you that you've got someone to buy our house. Thank you that you've got someone to pay off our debt. Thank you that you have someone to heal my broken heart, to come in and minister to me. And he takes care of it. We get the God that we expect. Oftentimes, we expect a God that's not going to show up, and oftentimes, we're very discouraged. But when we start expecting, and we, you know how we build that faith? A little bit upon a little bit. We build faith upon faith. We walk in the obedience, and we say, wow, look at what you've taught me. Thank you. I'm going to build on that step. Now I can get on to subtraction. Next year I'm going to do multiplication and then division. And if you're really advanced, maybe you're algebra one. Okay? But that's how we build our faith in these things. And the other way that we start establishing our authority is we start speaking. We have to use our mouths because we learned at Yom Teruah, Day of Trumpets, the trumpet is actually it's our voices. It's us. It's our voices. That's what brought the walls of Jericho down. It was they blew their trumpets and they shouted, and then Yahweh shouted, Yeshua, same thing, and they came down. What did we pray this morning in our prayer group at 8 a.m. here? Oh, Lori was there. Anybody else? They all peter out? Come on, man. Well, whatever. I was here. We prayed that the walls would come down. And there were some major walls that came down today. And in my life, and I know for others too. and this is being faithful with the little. He gives us more. But the criteria for leadership, those of us that really want that authority, that want to be able to go in and command a room, it is not through our intellect or, you know, psyching ourselves up or wearing our red tie or whatever it is. It comes from the spiritual things of God. It comes from knowing, and again, Pastor Tim, he teed it up for me today. It comes from knowing who we are, whose we are, and the confidence. He said a man, what makes a man a real man is that he's confident because he knows who he is in God. You can correct me if I'm not quoting you correctly, but that's what I took from it. And confidence is a very attractive trait in both men and women.
Yes.
But that only, I think, true confidence comes from knowing who we are in God. But the capable people, so people that, okay, capable people, who in here maybe walks with a scooter? Okay. Okay. Are you capable, though?
Yes.
Yes. Capable people. That's people that are able and willing. Okay? It doesn't always mean that you can run 5 miles and you're in fit shape. It means, you know, it means that you're able and willing. Lovers of truth, God-fearing, not eager for gain, you hate bribery. Bribery can be in many forms. It can be flattery, too. And flattery is often what sucks us into deception, too. Okay, we already went over that. Matthew 8, verses 9 through 10 says, I am also, so this is the part. If we really want to understand what authority is, then we need to know what it means to submit to authority. And I have a strong father, physical father. I have had strong, yes. I have been raised by a very strong and authoritative father. And I'm so thankful for that because I was taught correction. I was taught to love correction and to love, not always, obviously. And I've thrown down with them before too, many times, even today. But that's right. That was one of those walls coming down. But he taught me to honor and to serve and to know what it means to be obedient. And that blessing that comes in that, the protection that I had from having a father that did those things for me, that taught me, that's a strength that I would not have had without that. And I know there's some of you in here, maybe many, I don't know, that don't have that, didn't have that. That's okay because you have a God that makes up for that. If you'll submit to him, it's more of a challenge if you didn't have that from your earthly father because you don't always recognize loving authority. Oftentimes we see it and our gut, our knee jerk is to pull away. Anything like that, anything that brings a real visceral response, we need to test. That's part of the judicial branch. We need to discern if that's God or not. Because sometimes we knee jerk and we pull out of something that God's doing in our lives that would bring us to a point of maturity. And instead we circle the mountain one more time. We go through the detour. So if we don't recognize it, ask God. He just says ask. He'll give you more discernment. And the more that you discern, the more that you walk in the obedience, the more discernment you have. And when Yeshua heard this, I didn't even read it. I am a man under authority. This is the centurion. He was a Roman centurion who said, I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. First of all, there's a man that knows how to command, and they obey him and respect him. And when Yeshua heard this, he marveled, and he said to those who were following, amen. He's like, God, somebody gets it. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Gosh, what a compliment. He's talking to a Roman. The Romans were they were not the favored people, were they? No, but there were some. There were. And that understanding the authority. Again, it was not about how perfectly any of them do these things, do the law. It was those that understand the weightier matters, that have the heart for God and are willing to walk in it. This scripture was, yeah, what I read before about having the government on his shoulders. But of the increase of his government and shalom, there will be no end. Because why? On the throne of David, and Pastor Teek was going to teach us, she's going to do, I hope you're still going to do it, on the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it through justice and righteousness from now until evermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Our conquering king will do it, but he needs us to participate. He needs us to show up and to walk around those walls with our shofars. Hosts, Lord of hosts. Yes. But of the increase of his government, who in here is part of God's government? Amen. You're increasing it. You are the increase right here that he's talking about. And there will be no end, because after you, there will be others. And because we are going to train up the next generation that will continue to increase and bring about shalom. Amen. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And I think you spoke this today, but I looked up a lot of the Hebrew words behind it. It's mind-blowing. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn, or they groan. We often do groan, right? But that groaning can be a crying out, too. It is a crying out. The Hebrew definitions, when the righteous, so it says, when the righteous are in authority, that word righteous is the word tzaddik in Hebrew. It means lawful. Law-abiding, right? Those that are law-abiding enjoy the freedoms of walking down the street, driving their cars, going home in freedom, not wearing, having to wear any ankle bracelets, anything like that. And I don't mean the pretty blingy kind. They have freedom, those that are law-abiding. They are tzaddik, they're righteous. Authority, the word is rabbah, hoshana rabbah. It means to increase. Isn't that incredible? So to increase, so walking in as law abiding or under instruction from our Father, we are increasing. Our authority is increasing. Isn't that incredible? When the lawful increase, the people rejoice. That's a cool way to look at it. I have some examples of how the lawful has increased and how his authority has increased here. We had the overturning of Roe v. Wade this year. That's huge. We've been talking about prayers to end abortion in the Grand Valley, and we've been talking about it because it's been something that's happened. But this, in a nutshell, the story goes, we have been praying throughout Mesa County for the past 2 years, faithfully our church has. I know the others have before that, but gone down to the one place where there was abortions being provided, stood there peacefully, held our signs, and prayed. And not only did, you know, Kelly and I'm trying to think of who else said they were there, Elaine, constantly there praying, like daily, I think, and also praying that they would go out of business. And they went out of business. The one abortion provider no longer does them, and he went out of business. And, but wait, there's more. St. Mary's Hospital, they won. I might butcher this too, Veronica, you might help me. Veronica works at St. Mary's with Dr. White. And Dr. White, yes, we know who he is, right? Dr. White, and I know, Veronica, you were interceding too, and I know you had a hand in this because you both know your authority that God has given you. And their authority, they walked in this authority and they said, no, we will not work with a doctor like that at our hospital. And that contract was canceled because people that spoke, go ahead, clap, that's amazing. Those were people that spoke up. And you know, he told me that when I saw him the other night, he said, I feel like I don't have the same authority as I did before COVID because they pushed back on the mandates, the vaccine mandates. And I said, are you kidding me? The authority you have now is in the kingdom of God, and it is a greater authority. It's recognized in the spirit realms. That's why the enemy had to flee, because you resisted and it fled. And not only did they push out a provider for abortions, but they pushed out anything that was abortive in nature, so IUDs and anything transgender surgeries, and I can't remember what else, but things like that. So this is examples of our authority and God's government being established here. We are seeing some of this fruit. He's faithful to let us see that so that we don't get totally discouraged. Because it felt so lame some of those days, standing out there in that cul-de-sac holding our signs, and you know, and then nobody drives by or nobody sees you. And yeah, we know, we're praying, we're doing the good things. Or you stand out on Patterson and you just get flipped off constantly, and you know, other things. Yeah, yelled at, whatever it is. So it's awesome when God allows you to see some of these things come to pass. Godly government. Oh, and then the Planned Parenthood in Steamboat Springs went out of business also. That's the other one. Yep. Glory to God. Amen. He is shaking. That's right. And it's godly government that he's establishing in Mesa County. And I think most of you know the story I told with Jason, who's not here tonight either, that I connected with Jason Sherman was through another pastor back east, who heard about Jason standing on the steps of our justice center saying, God's kingdom be, or God's, the kingdom of God established in this place. That was the very prayer God had put on my heart to pray and to gather our people together on the very same day he was at the justice center speaking those words. That is incredible, and God connected us. Yep. Anyway. That's true too. We all were very instrumental in praying for and supporting our three conservative school board candidates. We now have a majority of Fruta City Council of conservatives because they just appointed a third one tonight. Yep. Yep. Aaron Hansi. He had run, didn't get elected, but the one, yeah, we're live streaming. Okay. Yeah, we're on YouTube. But we did have one that was uncomfortable with when, you know, Matt would go and pray, and Archie faithfully, we would go at different times to the city council meetings and we'd pray during public comment. And public comment, you're there as a council member to listen. Whether you like it or not, you're supposed to listen. One council member didn't like it and got up and walked out. So I know there was a lot of discomfort there. Yes, it was spiritual discomfort, and now has resigned, and they had to appoint a new person, and they appointed the conservative that ran with the other two conservatives that won last year. So, yep, it's pretty amazing. Those are some things. We are still faithfully praying at our Cover the County prayer meetings, and I know Captain Sorensen comes to those as often as he can make it. And you guys, and I don't mean to embarrass you in any way, but you guys as our law enforcement, our watchmen on the wall. I know that song spoke to your hearts tonight. Yes. Thank you. Because I know when I met them both that God put that in my heart, that these are our people that will pray with us and pray for us, and they're watching out for us too. Mm-hmm. Peacekeepers, yeah. Peacemakers. Yes. Yes, they do. We all do. I wanted to ask you, are there any other milestones, any other victories that I haven't mentioned that you can think of? Because let's list them out. You know, these are important things. God wants us to hold on to those victories because we're going to be faced with scary things too. And we need to remember these milestones, these miracles he's done. Yes, Leanne. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. So it's God's taking it. He's increasing his government. Mm-hmm. And when you establish this godly government in your homes and in your lives, oh, sorry, just a second. All your children will be taught by Yahweh. Your children will have great shalom also because you're establishing it here and he's faithful to those covenants. Even your grown children. Andrea. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, will you share that? Mark, do you want to talk? Either one, I don't care. Where's the mic? Or you both can share if you like, but.
And we're being live streamed. When we met Wendy, they moved Night Vision, and they moved out of Olathe. It's a Christian concert. They bring in some amazing talent. The woman that founds that and heads that basically gave up her inheritance. Some of you that don't know, she owns Cosmopol and Tin Magazine, and she had said, don't buy my magazine because it has pornography in it. And she's worth a lot of money, so imagine she's giving up her earthly inheritance. And there it's because of that warfare, there were people that were going to come into our county, and they were going to potentially cause some pretty severe problems. They were going to be protesting at the fairgrounds. And Todd and I said, not on our watch. And we stepped out in faith with the backing of the saints. We prayed. We spoke to the earth. We said, don't allow this. We loosed angels. We went to the fairgrounds. We walked the fairgrounds. And that very same day, within the same hour it had been done, we got the word that, yeah, we're not coming. Amen.
That was cool. Thank you. In righteousness, you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. This is when COVID, when it became a thing, how many of us were in terror? I think I had about a 24-hour period where I had some terror. And I was stupid because I told my kids, don't even go driving up on the monument. You never know, okay? I don't know what this is. And my daughter, I think it was Michaela, was like, oh my God, Mom, really? I go there sometimes. But yes, it was like literally like in January when we knew nothing, okay? And our family had just gone through, I don't know, whooping cough and some other plagues. My kids had coughs for 3 months. And then, yeah, and we had COVID, I think, too. But anyway. But in righteousness, we'll be established. We'll be far from oppression. We don't have to fear when those things hit. We are tested, and those are the things that come up, and it's okay. But how we respond is what's important. How we act in it is important. And those things do get passed down. And they are the things that reverse curses in our lives is when we walk out in obedience and we walk out in faith. Amen. And they break those chains off of our generations to come. So I have some quick questions and some takeaway points. And if you're getting tired, stand up and stretch. Okay? But this is the last thing, I promise. So how is God establishing your authority in your home, your job, your other relationships? You can answer any of these. Why is it so important that we understand our role, our identity, and our authority in the kingdom? And remember, encourage yourself in knowing you are worthy. You're being raised up within your spheres of influence. and recount your victories where Yahweh has established you. Where were you a year ago? Remember those things. Think about those great victories we just listed too. Okay, and know that's our God. But anybody want to speak to that or answer any of those questions, please raise your hand. This is interactive at this point. Well, hopefully the whole thing was, but Miss Gloria.
My thing is that one of the things that, well, when COVID hit, I just could care less because I had just lost my son. But when I, if you honestly think about it, fear is really that something's going to, it's harm you in one way physically. It's the fear of death. So fear, pretty much when we're in fear, we're fearing towards our own lives. And honestly, when we came back into Torah, and I was telling Hector, you know, when the priests were holding the, what is it? The tabernacle, and the fear that they had that, yeah. That it was going to fall over, the Ark of the Covenant, yeah. I'm sorry. The fear that they had that they were going to tumble, it was going to tumble down. And that fear that people have, well, this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. Since my son had passed, I learned that it is what it is. God is in control no matter what we do. Amen. No matter how much we take care of each other or take care of our loved ones, we are not promised tomorrow. No. So we have to do things in his proper way. Amen. And not be thinking that, oh, this is going to hurt me. I'm scared. I'm this, I'm that, because honestly, it's just fear of our flesh that we have. Amen. Because spiritually, Amen. We still keep living.
Amen. That's
right. Thank you, Gloria. Okay. Right after Pastor Curtis. Woo, good catch.
One of the things that has really bothered me in our position as pastors is every doctrine is based upon our original father, the Catholic Church, the original Antichrist. And just like Tim talked about today, we have learned to pray based on our identity as sinners. So we're not worthy. We don't have authority. We don't have an understanding of who we are. But when you finally discover that you're not a sinner, that you're born of authority in Messiah, and he left all authority to men, to us, and we are not beggars anymore. Oh God, we beg for our children, because we are children of the King. And I think that's a transition, because the Bible says that the Jews who have a veil on their eyes will not come into the understanding until the fullness of the Gentiles. Well, the Gentiles are not coming into fullness because they don't understand their authority. And when they do, when people come together and like you guys are praying, when we're praying for what we can't see, I can't see that thing that you're talking about. But we pray for those things that we can't see, because that's our evidence and our faith. And I think that's going to be the fullness of the Goyim, of the Gentiles, and I think we're going to see a great revival among Jews around the world, and every nation right now is against Jerusalem, and we've sang that song about Jerusalem, and I believe that we're going to see the spiritual Jerusalem become alive, because God's people are beginning to know their identity. Yes, it is.
Yep. Miss Sarah. Thank you, Elijah.
My parents got divorced in April of last year, and it was so terrible, and I grieved so much, and Wendy was there for it. Like, she saw me in the middle of my grief. It wasn't pretty. And for so long, for nearly a year, I felt so displaced, and I was able to walk. Actually, last year at Sukkot, I think it was the last day of Sukkot, I was held by Pastor Karen, and I wept with anguish and grief because I didn't know where to go from there. And this Sukkot, I get to walk in, and I'm not displaced anymore. And I belong somewhere now, and I have a purpose. And I'm able to weep with gratitude, and I don't grieve what was taken from me. And, yeah, that's what I have to say. There you go.
Amen. Mr. Tracy has his hand up.
Thanks. I just wanted to second what Gloria said there, that, and add to it that I just feel like we are here. I mean, I don't feel like it. I know we're here for a purpose. And it's not our purpose, and it's not the purpose we choose for ourselves. It's the purpose he chooses for us. And as long as we're doing that purpose, we are here. And when we've fulfilled that purpose, I believe that's when we go home to be with him. But I think we're here for his purpose, whatever that is. And we got to find that, but...
Okay, anyone else? All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer then. If you will stand and join me, please. Thanks. Thank you. When we pray... because I don't want us to just look in the mirror and walk away and forget what we look like. We pray, ask God to show you what he's establishing in you this week of Sukkot, the time that he's tabernacling with you. Ask him to show you what authority, what is your greater increase that he's giving you, okay? Yep. Well, we can walk in expectancy, that's right, for his seasons. Thank you, Father, for just bringing this about. I just thank you for speaking through me. I thank you for hearing the victories here and showing us. If we don't know who we are in your kingdom, Father, I just pray that you would give each one of us that revelation of whose we are, but also where you've planted us, the authority you've given us, and the sphere of influence and those that come into it. Father, I just ask right now that for a spirit of boldness upon us. A spirit of boldness that comes from knowing that we are clean, we are made righteous through you. It's not our own works, it's because of you who makes us holy. So I just thank you that we would walk in that wisdom and authority and strength. And when we fail, that we don't condemn ourselves. We say, oh, sorry, missed the mark, help me aim again, Father. But Father, that we would walk in your wisdom, that we would walk with your judgment of discernment in our lives, and that we would rule and reign rightly and righteously. I thank you, Yeshua, that you are imparting to us your understanding, but also the mantle of what it means to be watchmen on the wall for not just Mesa County, but for this nation. Father, may we intercede for this nation, and may we know that you are at work and that we were going to start turning our prayers into thanksgiving prayers. We're going to say thank you for saving my kids. Thank you for saving my family. Thank you for working in their lives, for creating new beginnings for our home, new beginnings for my job, for whatever it is, Father. Just thank you that you're doing it. And whatever people are burdened with right now, anything, that any grief, any major or minor burden right now, Abba, I just ask that we would be able to lay it down. We would ask for your yoke right now, that we would exchange that. Just take that yoke right now and exchange it and thank him for it. I thank you, Yeshua, that you are the one that's guiding our steps and that you would comfort us when we lay down our heads tonight. You would give us dreams. You would speak to our spirits. Give us visions and understanding, Father. And I just thank you again that you just show us what you're doing in this season in our lives. In your precious name, Yahweh. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.